All right, viewers, it's that time of the year again. I want to start off by thanking you for tuning back into the CSE's special presentation for Earth Day 2022. And once again, I am Anil Mall. I represent the Canadian Securities Exchange, and I am talking virtually to Mr. Keith Driver. Keith is the CEO of Earth Renew Inc. It trades on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol ERTH. Keith, thank you so much for taking the time to join myself and our viewers to talk a little bit about Earth Renew as well as Earth Day and where you and your company fit in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. Keith, why don't we begin by just having an introduction to Earth Renew for, you know, some viewers that might not be familiar with what the company does.
Sure. So at Earth Renew, we upcycle nutrients into granulated fertilizers that are organic, but we sell into the conventional fertilizer market. So we sell a regenerative fertilizer solution, which is building back the soils as opposed to the conventional synthetic fertilizers. And we do that through sourcing of ingredients and then granulating them into the granule that we make is suitable for farmers at the conventional scale. So the broad market farmers, for them to be able to run that through their equipment and to use it in conventional farming.
Sounds great. Now, I want to actually dive all the way back into this, Keith. So let's start with what is wrong with traditional fertilizers and the way things are being done.
For sure.
So being done.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And we want to be careful. Civilization rests upon our ability to have used and built with synthetic fertilizers. But the challenges we're finding are twofold. One is about two-thirds of all the nitrogen that's applied to the field never makes it to the plant. And about half of the potash doesn't make it to the plant. And phosphorus in the same. And those tend to run off into rivers and streams. And so we're seeing things like dead zones and in lakes and streams. And so the scale at which we're applying these nutrients is just expansive. The other part is they tend to have a deleterious, a negative impact on the soil. So conventional agriculture is really mining the soil for nutrients. And we haven't really reinvested or built back into that resource. So farms are starting to become depleted. The soils are starting to become a little too much salt in them. And so productivity is sort of hitting this peak. And what we're focused on is helping farmers get those nutrients that they need, get them in a form that's more natural, and get them in a form that builds back the carbon in the soil, both for climate change as a carbon sink, but also to build back the productivity and the resilience of those soils in general.
So let's now talk about how you and your team came about this and what it took to sort of now get to this stage where you're expanding, there's growth, you're providing an alternate to conventional fertilizer. So how did you get to this space or this stage?
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride. Part of the technologies were invented probably about a dozen years ago. The inclusion of sulfur in fertilizers to help unlock the optimize the sort of a natural slow release component for fertilizer products. And so we've built on that. We've built on the granules, built on this concept of this sort of environmentally friendly organics market. And then about a year ago, actually, just a little bit after Earth Day last year, we merged with a company called Replenish Nutrients, where we now actually operate under their brand, where we've brought together the products that they had with the scale of production that we had to continue their scale. So how does it start? $1 million, $3 million, $7 million, and then $15 million of revenue last year, and moving on from there. So it's about hearts and minds with the farmers and convincing them and showing them that the outcomes are equivalent. And then now we're into a huge growth and distribution phase for our company.
Keith, I like that you touch on the point of, you know, it was trying to get to the hearts and minds of the farmers, which in the traditional sense has been happening for centuries, where it probably was a little tough to get your messaging and get them to understand. So I want to talk a little bit about maybe some of the challenges that you and your team might have faced in the early days going out there and trying to challenge farmers to change their way of thinking in a way.
Yeah, so there's two components to that. One is there's, I would say, they like to say it's a new generation of farmer, but I actually don't see it as all that new. There's a generation of farmers now that have been working in and with these synthetic fertilizers for a long time, and they're really recognizing this treadmill. The more you apply, the more you need to apply next year, the more you get behind and the soils become less resilient, the more risk you're taking in the operation. So inevitably, the farmers, I think, are actually looking for this message. For us, the challenge is the Agriums and the Potash Corps have built such a massive infrastructure for getting messaging into farmers. And it's about, you know, inputs and making sure you've got the nutrients when you need them. And you know, ours is the best way. And it's lotions and potions and sprays and all that sort of infrastructure that's been built up. And so it's really hard to put in a message that resonates with farmers until you find that farmer that's looking for the solution and wants to get off the conventional fertilizer train and is heading in that direction. That's why organic has always sort of been this small market, and regenerative is now the sort of overtaking that of, oh yeah, we need to do something better. And so I think we're in well positioned at the right time for that. The other component to it is showing equivalent results. Farmers literally bet the farm every year that they're going to get a crop off that's going to have value. And so for us, you know, we announced a little while ago some trials on that showed we have equivalent results for a lower cost. That's perfect for us. We're not looking for a 5 times increase in yield, or we want to show that the nutrients that are available that come with this added value of rebuilding the soil don't take their yields down, especially in a year like this where food prices are through the roof. Farmers can't afford to take risk on yield. And so we want to show it's equivalent yield, but at the same time, you're getting this benefit. You're building back the value of the farm, building back the value and the resiliency of the soil.
Keith, you talk a little bit about the trial that was done. Was it one trial? Was it several? Can you talk a little bit about the process of these trials?
Yeah, that's the joy of agriculture. We're going to be trialing for forever. And frankly, that's for our benefit because there's more crops, there's more techniques, there's more communities. And the more trials you do, the more word of mouth you get. So it's a really good sales tool. And for us, it's validation. We've got over 7,000 soil tissue samples that we've done to prove that those nutrients have been uptake. But you still can't get away from in-farm trials, showing it to them. Whether we publish them or whether it's simply for a group of farmers within a community that agrees to do a trial, it's really about how do we convince them that the next year betting the farm on this product is the right way to go, or getting their nutrients this way is the right way to go. And they, you know, they want to see it. And frankly, it makes sense given the scale of the average farm as a business. You don't sort of make these choices on a whim. You really want to see the numbers and make sure that you know what you're getting into.
So you're getting the right yields back and whatnot as well. So what is your company and team strategy on reaching out to these farmers right now? Is it strictly done by way of word of mouth and trials, or are you working with some bigger organizations that can then help to focus more and narrow down these farmers?
For sure. So 2 years ago, it was 80% farm to farm, 20% through distributors and market agents. Last year, we balanced it back to about 50-50 on our path to actually 80-20 the other way. We never want to get rid of those relationships with farmers, and particularly some of the larger farmers are in fact their own distributors. They're just that big. But we've announced some relationships with folks like P&H and CropMax and CoreAg, some of these big distributors that are what we would call tier two distributors. So not to be diminutive to them, but the tier one guys are the integrated Agriums and Potash Corps, and they're going to sell their product mix because that's what they're set up to do. And these independent guys are large operations, multiple geographies, multiple stores, multiple retail locations, and using those because they tend to work with farmers that are searching for the alternative to the conventional. And so we've been able to not only prove it to their farmers, and that market pull has allowed the distributors to come in and say, yeah, we see these products moving off our shelf. We want to move more of this product. We need this in our product lineup to be able to provide the farmers that are looking for the innovative products what they're looking for.
So from that, what that tells me, Keith, is obviously you are getting the feedback you're getting the right feedback from these trials and the different farmers and organizations that have tried the product and are pushing it, the fertilizers, I should say.
Oh yeah, and we deal with farmers year over year. Like this is a spring and a fall every year. Farmers are putting inputs into their fields, and so we get that feedback, and then we've had it recurring year. So this isn't, it's an overnight success, 5 years in the making, right? In terms of pulling that together, and now with the retailers behind us, we've got the ability to scale. So before it was really how many farms can we talk to? Now we can go to a retailer and they'll have 30 of their folks in for a meeting, and we can hit 30 at a time with the credibility that they don't put products they don't believe in front of their best customers. Yeah. Not a great business strategy. So we're getting that sort of quality endorsement as well as the ability to fulfill. There's no more, well, trucks are hard to come by. Are these guys going to be able to get the product to me when I need it? It's now sitting with the retailer who says, yep, no, we've got the supply chain to push this product through in that short window in the spring and fall when you need to be active in your field.
Got it. Now, it wouldn't be fair if we didn't talk about some of the challenges that you and your team might be trying to overcome. Fill us in. What is still there that you find that might be a little bit of a hurdle that's still there to overcome and move forward?
Absolutely. So we're not immune to the supply chain challenges, and all of our product needs to move by truck, and that's the challenge for us. So really 200% growth year over year for the last 4 years is not without its small heart attacks and trying to push all that product out. So we're looking at how do we set up regional facilities where we can move that product earlier in the year so that it's just-in-time delivery to the farmers. How can we create marketing incentive programs to help move that product in off periods onto farms so that it's ready for them and it's in their storage, and they can then be in charge of moving that. And then for us, it's how do we open up new markets? We really need to be strategic. You know, there's farmland everywhere, but which crops, which geographies have the best fit for us and the best opportunity for us to come in without having to do heavy lifting all everywhere all at the same time. So a bit of a discipline game for us. It's going to be very carefully choreographed how we grow, but at the same time, we're at the early days of what is an expanding market with a lot of tailwinds from folks like Nestle and McCain saying, we need regenerative farming, Cargill. We need to be purchasing only from farmers who are in this space. And we're going to have to ride that wave for a few years until, supply and demand can rebalance.
Got it. So Keith, obviously, geographically speaking, what regions are you currently in and what are the plans for expansion into other regions?
For sure. So we've really been focused on Alberta and a little bit into Saskatchewan. We're making much bigger moves into Saskatchewan this year. Obviously, that's the bulk of production. So we're going to move towards the core. And we've got this project we've announced with K+S Fertilizers out of Bethune, which is just outside of Regina, to help really accelerate our growth from a production perspective, but production in market. So to reduce some of those transportation costs that get us there. With the conflicts in Eastern Europe, the premium on potash and products from within North America is, as one of the only other regions of the world producing those products, is quite high. So that's going to open up markets. And then we're contemplating an entry into the U.S. We've got a really interesting opportunity in Colorado that we've been working on for a while that would, it's not necessarily the tier one market in the U.S., but for us, it's probably the best way, to be a big fish in a small pond and get into that market and really understand that. And we've got some great partnerships in place to help us do that. And then once we're in the U.S., then you can go state by state, but it's going to take us. There's enough market there that's going to keep this interesting for quite some time and allow for that continual incremental growth as we've seen.
Keith, obviously. You are a public company and building shareholder value is key. So, with something like Earth Renew, obviously there's trying to build shareholder value, and then there's the portion where you're trying to better the planet and Earth by ways of farming, or ethical farming, I should say. So what has that sentiment been like from your shareholders as now, you know, there's been growth in the company, there's plans for expansion. What sort of feedback do you and your team get?
Inevitably, there's always shareholders who wish we were doing more faster. And I'm empathetic to that. Agriculture has its own pace. So we see growth. Really, we have two markets a year, spring and the fall. And those are good markets. They're 6 month long markets, but they are really quite cyclical. And so we are being quite methodical in our approach. And I think fundamentally, I come from a private equity background. And so fundamentally, we're just building a really good business that's growing, you know, a couple 100% a year and has opportunities in the next 2 or 3 years here to grow by that again and in increments thereof. And so, you know, fundamentally, that's a good business. The investors that we're talking to and that we're getting feedback with are happy with the building blocks that we've built in the short period that we have been in the public markets. And, you know, we are one of the few ag companies that are publicly traded that have sort of consistent revenues and we're not sort of more early stage. And so it's an excellent opportunity to be involved in environmentally friendly regenerative ag and to get that portfolio, you know, component to it, which is the high growth yet fundamentally, you know, people got to eat. We saw that through COVID. Agriculture continues to grow no matter what happens in the world around us. You know, it's generally a fairly good place to have your investment and your time and your money. So we're doing a lot of investor education to understand the opportunity in ag and to understand that it really is an important growth sector for Canada and that our business is fundamentally tied to ESG in ag, which is, you know, it's a complicated piece, but the investors who get it have been happy with us so far.
Excellent. Keith, I really appreciate you taking the time to educate myself and our audience about Earth Renew's, you know, I don't want to call it a technology, but the support for healthy soils and healthy farming. Where can our viewers go? Because I want to encourage everybody watching this to go to your website to read up more on what you and your team are doing, you know, hopefully sign up for your press releases, maybe turn into investors one day. So where can they go to sign up and read more about your company?
Sure. So earthrenew.ca is the website. And then that's the corporate website. The products themselves, which I think for those that are really interested in the themes that we're working with, of regenerative ag is Replenish Nutrients. So Replenish Nutrients is the trade name, and that's where we tend to put out most of our communication to our consumers. And what we're finding is our investors, while they may not be farmers, are interested in the story because of the ag and the food security game. And so the messages that we have for our consumers really resonate. And then we're on social media, typically under Replenish Nutrients, because it is focused towards our consumers. So look out for us there. And obviously Earth Renew on Earth Day is an interesting fit, but in both ways.
Yeah. I want to give you the last minute or so to just give us a little message from you and your team for Earth Day and what we all need to be focused on to make the world, the Earth a better planet.
Sure. So I come from an interesting background in ag and food and in carbon trading. And so I've been involved in sort of this Earth Day for a number of years. And it's really interesting to see how the concept of Earth Day has found its way into almost every industry. So we're really excited and proud. And there's a lot of value for us as a team to be working in regenerative ag at a time when there's value being placed on doing the right thing. And we've got a really good economic proposition that just happens to be really well aligned with building back the soils, which, you know, is the number one way we can contribute to food security here in Western Canada.
You know, they say small steps create big change, right? So I would encourage everybody watching to, you know, as small as the change might be in your daily lifestyle to help keep our planet clean, keep our planet healthy, would benefit all of us and our generations to come. So Keith, I on that note, I want to thank you very much again for taking the time to join me. To everybody watching, you've been listening to Mr. Keith Driver. He is the CEO of Earth Renew Incorporated, trades on the CSE under the symbol ERTH. And you've been watching an Earth Day 2022 special presentation brought to you by the CSE. Thank you again, Keith.
My pleasure. Talk to you again soon.